Dallas Turner from Alabama ran a 4.47 40.
Hey, we know him.
Yeah, oddly enough, I did read where his first time was slow. His second time, they put quarterbacks' helmets in front of him, made him run faster. He got there quicker. So I couldn't resist it. Sorry. We love you, Alabama. We do. We do.
It's time for the Brew and Shavers Sports Podcast.
Let's kick off the show and get right to it, Darren. We're looking for $85 million because the Denver Broncos announced today they are releasing quarterback Russell Wilson, which will create a hit of $85 million in dead cap space, which is twice the previous high.
Yeah. So what's that? What's the meme of hold my beer? I feel like Denver just said to Texas A&M, oh, you're worried about your Jimbo debt? Here, hold our beer. We're about to set some football records.
I was thinking of Rocky Mountain High. Somebody's not thinking clearly.
There's some clouded judgment. That is for sure.
I mean, how badly does Sean Payton dislike Russell Wilson for this to happen?
You know, the thing about it is that's the only possible explanation, that it's personal. But who in the office, front office, doesn't say, hey, man, we get it. People don't like each other all the time, but let's figure out a way to not $85 million not dislike one another. Can we not do something for the next couple of years? That's insanity.
Somebody's mama needs to get in there and say, you come here, you come here, you two are going to sit here, yeah, and you're going to work this out.
That's
because exactly, we don't have $85 million.
They need to use the old high school football trick. A couple of my teammates, when I was in high school, got in a fight, and the coaches made them run laps together and then alternate carrying each other running laps. You know, you work things out. They need to have some of that going on in Denver, I think.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Very much so.
All right. Well, let's move on from that. Evidently, nobody's chimed in with an offer to give Denver $85 million.
There has not been a check written.
Because everybody's giving their money toward NIL right now.
Yeah, exactly. You picked the wrong time. Especially with Coach Prime being in Colorado, he's pulling in all those dollars, you know.
Let's move to some other uplifting headlines. And we want to start with local flavor. The Parkway High School girls basketball team, located in South Bossier Parish, where we broadcast from, or where we tape the show every week. We want to congratulate them on winning back-to-back state titles. Incredible, awesome. Incredible feat. They, in the state semifinals, they hit one of their best players. I think her name, Chloe Larry, hit a half court shot to win the game. They upset the number one seed Walker to advance to the state title game. That play, that shot wound up on, I think, number one on top 10 plays that evening on SportsCenter.
That's so awesome. That is so very cool. And it's an incredible play. Google it, search it, look for it, find it. It's an incredible. It's so it even when you know what's coming, it still kind of takes your breath. It's such a cool play.
And the superstar they had last year, I'm drawing blank, Michaela Williams, is that right?
She's
down
right at
LSU right now, yep, starting as a freshman.
Yep.
This was a little surprise that Parkway got back and made it to the state title game. But once they did, they just annihilated Denham Springs to win their second straight girls basketball state championship. So congratulations to Parkway High School.
Yes, definitely.
I like that kind of those kind of headlines.
Absolutely.
We also have some other headlines coming up that we want to share with you, and that is our top 25 rankings for men and women. Let's catch up where our SEC teams are. Tennessee with a big, big-time win in Tuscaloosa last week. Yep. That told me a lot about this Tennessee Volunteers team. They're real.
That was a hostile environment. I mean, it looked like it almost had the feel of an NBA All-Star Weekend environment. I mean, there were so many star-studded. I'm talking about the amount of people that were there.
It was I don't think of hostility in NBA All-Star Game Week.
Well, it just had such huge appeal. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, they show that leading into the game, you've got the former head coach and the new head coach standing and talking. You've got Jalen Milroe signing autographs. You've got Reese Davis from Alabama, from ESPN that also went to Alabama doing a press conference. What was it, the night before the game, talking about how much he loves Alabama and how they need a new arena to play in. So you had all this big stuff going on. And then on top of that, they pack in, 18,000 people that obviously don't like orange. I mean, they really had it all going. All the momentum was in Alabama's way. And Tennessee was like, yeah, we're good. We got this.
Big time win. I want to go back to what you mentioned about hostility, because we talked in a previous episode very briefly about how to improve the NBA All-Star Game Weekend. And maybe how can we bring a little bit of hostility into that game? I'm talking the Kurt Rambis going to the hoop and getting laid out by Kevin McHale hostility. That's what I'm talking about.
That would make people watch the All-Star game. There would be a new audience show up for that game.
Goodness. Well, let's go over to the women's. Oh, wait. We didn't talk about this yet.
We didn't make it past Tennessee. All right.
Auburn at number 13, Kentucky. I thought we were going to talk about Kentucky because they did not look their best against Arkansas.
No.
And that was at Rupp Arena.
Yeah.
Arkansas almost stole one.
It kind of looked like they were going to at times.
Yep. Well, we've already talked about Alabama. And then South Carolina continues to defy expectations at number 17. So that's your SEC men's teams in the AP top 25. Let's go over to the women's side. No surprise, South Carolina finished their second straight undefeated regular season. Now, last year they got upset by Iowa in the tournament, led by a certain Caitlin Clark, who we will talk about in a few minutes.
Exactly.
So we'll see how they do this year. The Texas at number 6, LSU at 8. They moved up a spot, and OU at 19. Now, that's important because we are heading into the SEC Women's Tournament this week from March 6th through the 10th in Greenville, South Carolina. The men will follow March 13th through the 17th in Nashville. And, of course, 17th is Selection Sunday for the big dance, the big tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Definitely.
Are you going to take off work with me this year on that first Thursday to watch the games?
I think we might have to consider it. There's going to be some good stuff going on.
I'm going to need a commitment from you in front of everybody that's watching and listening. Don't mess around with me now.
We're going to need an NIL. We're not going to need – we're not going to do verbal commitments, all right?
Speaking of big events, SEC Media Days are on the horizon, Darren. Are you excited?
It's when you know it's coming. How can you not be excited? Is it earlier this year? It doesn't seem to always be that early in July, does it?
I don't know. Like we never get press credentials.
Yeah, they keep ignoring us. And by the SEC, we're aware that you're ignoring us. You're not pulling one over on us. We just want to be sure and point that out.
So if you're one of our 50 listeners, be sure to let the SEC top brass know what's happening here.
Hashtag give them credentials. All 50
we are being unfairly shunned. We may be little, but we're fierce.
That's right. That's exactly right. We would bring excitement. We can guarantee you that.
Oh, is that it on Media Days?
Well, let's we've got
this is why we don't get credentialed, Darren, right there. Okay.
There was too long of a pause.
Like, these guys are idiots.
What are they talking about?
If you see these two guys try to get in, be sure you keep them out.
Instead of credentialed, our pictures are on the wall. Like, don't let these guys in. The schedule was released just in the last couple of days. Day one will be LSU, Ole Miss, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt. So that's a pretty interesting combination. I would assume, especially with Lane Kiffin and Shane Beamer in the same day, going to have some pretty good quotes from that day. Then on the day two, on Tuesday, Kirby Smarts, Eli Drinkwitz, Brent Venables, and Josh Heupel. Interesting that the SEC put Oklahoma and Josh Heupel on the same day. Just found that interesting. So, and then on Wednesday is Alabama, Florida, Mississippi State, which will be Jeff Lebby's first SEC media days, and then also Texas. And we all mentioned, of course, we mentioned Oklahoma, but it'll be their first official media days as part of the SEC. Same with Texas and Steve Sarkisian. And then on Thursday, Arkansas, Auburn, Kentucky, and Texas A&M. Kind of a weird grouping. You know, excited for – I think Sam Pittman will kind of be the star of that show. I mean, there will be a lot of people that will want to talk to Mike Elko because he's new at Texas A&M, be his first SEC media days as a head coach. But that's kind of an odd grouping. Sam Pittman, Hugh Freeze, Mark Stoops, and Mike Elko. Kind of an odd, but we're headed into SEC football, so who really cares about the groupings? It's just time to hear people talk.
No matter what the lineup, it's going to be entertaining.
Oh, absolutely, no matter what.
Speaking of entertainment, we are all waiting for the release of EA Sports College Football 25. Oh, yeah. And 10,000-plus football players have opted in for this, Darren.
It's really awesome. I heard a podcast talking last week about the fact that there was some concern just from kind of talking heads, not really from within college football, but just from kind of the talking heads that it was going to become an NIL point of contention, that the game wasn't offering enough money. And because I think it's like $500 or something like that, that each player will get. It's something along that lines. That could become an issue and become a negative headline. And when it came time for players to start signing on the dotted line, the money wasn't even a conversation. It was about, yeah, I can be a part of the game. I mean, they were just signing without even any questions. Absolutely, I want to be a part of the game. The only conversations was, well, what's my rating going to be? That was that was more of a conversation than what the paychecks were going to be like. So it's really awesome that this many players have opted in. Super exciting.
Absolutely. This is great news to hear. Yep. Another headline that we need to go to, which is not such great news, and that is the passing of Chris Mortensen at the age of 72. Chris Mortensen covered the NFL for more than three decades, award-winning journalist, a big part of the ESPN family. And he was, you know, Darren, he's one of the best in the business. And
yeah, absolutely.
Just you hate to see this. We're losing some of the great sports reporters that we've grown up with.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I heard Adam Schefter speak briefly in an interview yesterday or today. It was in the last couple of days. And he said that truly he feels that everything he did or has been able to do in his career, he owes to the fact that he was basically able to sit at Chris Mortensen's feet when he started his career. That's where his learning, that's where his professionalism, that's where all of that came from. So what a great tribute. And you're right. You hate to see the fact that we're seeing this happen more than obviously than anyone would want to. And you hate to see it happening as frequently as it seems to be.
Our prayers are certainly with Chris Mortensen's family, who had a stellar career and made us all blessed us all in our love of the game of football by bringing his passion to his reporting and his integrity.
Absolutely.
And he will be missed.
Absolutely.
Let's pause for this week in sports history.
March 6, 1945, George Nissen of Cedar Rapids, Iowa, receives a patent for the first modern trampoline. Nissen, a gymnast, was inspired to create a trampoline after watching trapeze artists use their safety nets as an elastic bed to rebound and perform additional tricks. While initially intended for professional tumbling and recreational uses, the trampoline also assisted in war. During World War II, the trampoline was used to train pilots by getting them used to orienting themselves in the air. Nissen was passionate about trampoline gymnastics becoming an Olympic sport. His vision was realized in the 2000 Summer Olympics in Sydney. At 86 years old, Nissen attended the 2000 Olympics. He was also able to travel to Beijing, China for the 2008 Summer Olympics and given the honor at the age of 94 of testing out the Olympic trampoline before the events began.
Oh, thank you.
The big news of the week, of course, is Caitlin Clark, the superstar player for the Iowa Hawkeyes women's basketball team, becoming the all-time scoring leader in Division I basketball. That's women's and men. Incredible accomplishment for Caitlin Clark, who no doubt is the most exciting player in women's college basketball. Stadiums sell out when she comes to town. Absolutely. People are wanting to catch a chance to watch her play. And she seldom lets people down.
Right, just absolutely. An
incredible generational talent. Darren, when you think about Caitlin Clark and this record, what are some of the thoughts that come to your mind?
Well, the first thing you said was kind of something that was already in my head about her being a generational talent and how she seldom ever lets the crowd down. She brings everything she's got and puts on a show, because it was interesting to me watching the game on Sunday that she broke the record, how many times the commentators went back to, you know, we feel like this has been on her mind a little bit, even though she hadn't talked about it in the interviews. Something has just seemed off because she only has 31. It's like, What are we talking about? She only has 31. That tells you what she does week in and week out, game in and game out. She brings 35, 40, 45 points to the table every single time, and does it in a strong way. It's not she has 50 points in a blowout and then has 17 points in a close game. Yeah, it's that same. It's that level of consistency, no matter the level of the opponent. And to me, that's one of the things that's the most impressive, is that she is bringing it against the number one team and against a one win team. She's going to bring it with that same level of intensity and show that same level of accomplishment in those games, no matter the opponent. To me, that's been one of the most impressive things about her career.
Yeah, it's rare to see a player like Caitlin. Now, women's college basketball is full of great players, but Caitlin Clark is just a little bit above those great players. And we're going to get to see her play in the Big Ten tournament, and then in the, of course, the NCAA tournament. She's not playing in the SEC tournament.
No, she is not.
So we'll have more opportunity to watch her play. One of the debates that's come up, and I'm not really sure it's kind of a moot point. I'm not sure it's a relevant debate, is comparing her with Pistol Pete Maravich, because it was his record that she broke.
Right.
So there's no question that Caitlin Clark is the all-time leading scorer in college basketball, period, Division One. So she has the record, and we need to appreciate that, because that record stood for 50-plus years.
Absolutely.
But I wonder, Darren, if comparing her to Maravich is apples to oranges. We can talk about – it's so hard to compare players from different eras.
Yeah.
And we see this all the time, and we have a tendency as people to fixate – on the immediate right in front of us.
Right.
You know, people that love LeBron, they forgot what Larry Bird was like in his prime.
Absolutely.
People that talked about how great Kobe was, it's easy to forget Michael Jordan.
All right. Absolutely.
We forget Dr. J. We forget how great Wilt Chamberlain was. And so I think there's some of that that goes on, and that doesn't diminish what Caitlin Clark has done at all. It's absolutely incredible. It's stellar. Right. But it was a different time, and she did it in 4 years. Pistol Pete set his in 3 years. She had the three-point line. Pistol Pete didn't. Regardless of those things, she's still the record holder. But I think that's when we start realizing the difficulty it is trying to compare players like that. What do you think?
I think we have to be very, very careful, because I would say also on the other end of that is also people that because I think, honestly, I kind of find myself being a little bit more guilty of you know, there's recency bias. I guess the opposite of that would be past bias. I find myself being, well, you know, so-and-so was so good, and it was such a different, and I find myself, like, even the conversations like you were talking about with Michael Jordan, I don't even get into those conversations, because I know people that are very active and involved in today's NBA will not like my opinions, even though a Michael Jordan fan would like my opinions about MJ. They're not going to like my opinions about the modern NBA. So I think there's that side of it too. I think one of the things we have to really focus on is acknowledging the fact that in the environment with which having a three-point line, having a shot clock, all of those things, she excelled to be the best to ever do it, period. Just like Pistol Pete in his environment, not having a three-point line, not having a shot clock, he excelled to be the best to ever do it. And that's awesome for both of them. To spend time comparing, well, this happened and that happened, they're both incredible. I think that's all that matters at the end of the day. Now, I will say this, because I do tend to have a historical perspective sometimes. Can you imagine what Pistol Pete would have done with a shot clock and a three-point line? You're talking about an unbreakable record. I can't even comprehend with his skill level what he could have done within those parameters. Again, does not diminish what Caitlin Clark has done. She's excelled to be the best to ever do it, working within what where she was and the time frame she was in. And you have to honor that. But I can't even comprehend what he would have been able to do with a shot clock and a three-point line.
There are certainly similarities. They're both incredible scorers. Mm-hmm. And they both created excitement in the sport that places hadn't seen before. Governor of Louisiana was going to home LSU games to watch Pistol Pete Maravich play. That was the hot in a state that loves its football and baseball. That became the hottest ticket in town when Maravich was there.
Yep.
Much like whatever Caitlin Clark goes today, it's going to be sold out. There's going to be lines of people waiting to get in to those basketball arenas. So we certainly want to congratulate Caitlin Clark for an incredible accomplishment. And we can say she's probably done things that we've never seen in women's college basketball. Much like with Maravich, he was doing things with a basketball, some of those passes, some of those moves that we had never seen before at that time. And so I think we hold them both up. And that was one of the points I picked up from Kim Mulkey's press conference when she was asked this question. We can hold them both up and appreciate their greatness without having to put one down to make the other one seem superior. And congratulations to Caitlin Clark. What a privilege it's been to watch her play basketball.
Job well done. Absolutely.
Let's move over from college basketball to the NFL Combine, where a number of SEC players turned some heads. I say, Darren, it was quite a showing from the SEC. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. And, of course, as always, we will include Texas and Oklahoma in anything that we do that's SEC. And so since we do it that way, we have to start with Xavier Worthy, wide receiver from Texas, who is now on record as being the fastest man in the history of the NFL Combine to run a 40. So his first 40 time was 4.25, to which he was like, yeah. So he wanted to run a 4.21 on his second 40 time, which is just absolutely, that's unreal to think about someone being able to run that fast and how much leg power, how much speed that takes. And speaking of leg power, he also had a 41-inch vertical, you know, just in case you didn't think he really had talent. So he obviously is the standout star in the NFL combine from SEC players. A.D. Mitchell, who is also from Texas, ran a 4.34, which, by the way, not shabby. It's not like he was crawling. This is not the tortoise in the hare. I tell you, a person that stood out from Tennessee was Jalen Wright, who he did not set the NFL combine record, but he was the fastest running back in the 40. He actually had a 4.38, which to get at wide receiver speed at a running from a running back position, pretty impressive. So he took that acclaim home to be the fastest running back this year in the combine. Dallas Turner from Alabama ran a 4.47 40.
Hey, we know him.
Yeah, oddly enough, I did read where his first time was slow. His second time, they put quarterbacks' helmets in front of him, made him run faster. He got there quicker. So I couldn't resist it. Sorry. We love you, Alabama. We do.
I thought you were going to say someone just mentioned to him, hey, Dallas, what do you think about the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast?
That could have helped, too. If you stay down here on this end, those guys are going to interview you. Oh, look at that. Fast time. What happened?
Now Alabama fans, just calm down, all right? We know Dallas Turner is a great player. And
take a breath, yeah.
He should have a great NFL career.
Absolutely.
We just don't want to see him hitting Jaden Daniels anytime soon.
Exactly. A great NFL career with lots of fines. No, wait, no, that's not what I meant. Never mind.
just when we were making progress.
Just one more on the way out. Just one more.
You had to disrupt the healing process.
Sometimes. A couple of other players that really stood out, Ricky Purcell from Florida, Trevor Wallace from Kentucky, Makai Wingo from LSU, a D lineman. Now he's a little bit, he's a little bit undersized because he's only 6'1 and only 285, but still being a little bit undersized, he still ran a 4.8 40.
Well, he didn't get all his crawfish this year. That's why he's undersized. See, the price of crawfish is astronomical. He didn't get what he normally gets.
Normal crawfish season, he comes in at 315. That's exactly right.
Yeah, but I tell you what, he grows about 2 inches, about 6'3", 6'4".
That's right. That's exactly right. But I tell you what, at 4.85, you get him in an NFL weight room where lifting and all of that stuff becomes his job. You're talking about a guy coming off the edge that can do some damage. I think there's some potential there with that kind of speed. And just another couple of names. Ladd McConkey from Georgia had a standout and ran a 4.39.
Good receiver.
I don't want to be negative, but I have to be realistic. Another big headline coming out of the combine was people were blown away by the fact that Joe Milton threw a ball 71 yards in the air. That is incredible. I probably can't throw at my age and my athletic ability as I sit today. I hope to be able to throw a ball 71 feet in the air. So I'm not diminishing that talent. However, NFL GMs, being able to throw the ball down the field at length was never the issue. It's finding the guy he's supposed to be throwing it to. That was always the issue. Don't get sucked in. I just wanted to throw that out there. Hopefully somebody sees his talent, can develop him, help him with his accuracy, and he has a 10-year career. I hope that for him. But all the excitement about, oh, man, this guy can really throw a ball, we've known that for 3 years. Actually, we've known that for 4 years. That was talked about when he was coming out of high school going to Michigan. So it just amazes me the headlines that people jump on that like it's brand new because it happened in the NFL combine. So just wanted to throw that out there as well.
We do get caught up in the numbers, and the numbers don't always translate to NFL
success.
The good news for players like Joe Milton is there is a development process, and Geno Smith is the poster player for
great
this
point.
Because It looked like his career was over. He was destined to be a backup forever.
Yep.
And he was able to develop his skills, become a much better player. And he's had success as the starting quarterback for Seattle. So I think Milton's going to be in a position. No one's projecting him to come in and start for an NFL team, but he can get in as a backup. If he gets in a good situation, he develops. That door may open down the road.
That's exactly right. And like I said, not being negative or disparaging in any way, I hope that for him. What an awesome story it would be if that turns out to be the case.
There we go, folks. Darren on the show is wishing the best for a Tennessee quarterback.
A former Tennessee quarterback. All right. Just had to make that distinction.
He's inciting Alabama fans, and he's befriending Tennessee fans all in one episode.
The world's upside down. That's what
it must be an election year.
There you go.
What other promises are you going to make?
Speaking of which, it's election day, right? Isn't it Super Tuesday?
Is
and I think that's right. Yeah, well, it is. It is. So there you go. So get out the vote, no matter what. Do that.
That's why I should probably watch the news. I've missed things like this.
If they could bring it up on SportsCenter, that would help. I mean,
Super Tuesday. I'm like, what sporting event am I not thinking of right now? Super Tuesday. There must be a huge game somewhere.
The SEC Women's Tournament starts on Wednesday, not Tuesday. What are you talking about?
Thought maybe the Cornhole Championships or Super Tuesday.
It probably is.
Well, we appreciate you hanging with us through this episode. I hope there's something here that you found amusing or entertaining, because I hope you don't take us very seriously, because we don't take ourselves that seriously.
Exactly.
Now, we're going to go ahead and wrap up this show, and Darren's going to go outside, and we're going to see if he can throw that football for 71 feet or not.
Going to have to mark it off. We'll see what happens.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button, that like button. Keep up to date with everything that's coming out from the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. It means a lot to us. It helps us when you watch and when you like and when you subscribe. So please do that. Ask your friends to do that. And if they don't do that, get on their computer or phone when they're not looking and do it for them.
It's good advice. That is good advice.
So new episodes drop every Tuesday. We'll see you then. Until then, take care.
Have a great week.
Thank you for making the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast your go-to sports show. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review our show if you haven't already. Your feedback is important. Let us know what you think about this week's show. Send an email to brewandshavers@gmail.com or text to our text line, 318-390-3599. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you again for listening to the Brew and Shaver Sports Podcast. See you next week.